gets translated into another language. Learn to start thinking in terms of bundles of concepts or ideas that will be converted into the new language and not single words. Some of this may sound like philosophy or a complicated way to say simple things, but it really isn't. What you're trying to do is to think in a foreign language, not to translate. If you don't learn to think in the foreign language, the chances are that you'll never be really good at it. Learning to think in a foreign language isn't all that hard, by the way. You learn to think in the language simply by using the language over and over again, asking and answering simple questions at even the simplest level, until you feel comfortable with the process. Then you add some new words and a few more new situations and practice using them together with all the new words that you learned in the previous lessons. Bit by bit, you build up skill. I don't want to suggest that you should never translate. There will be many times in class when the teacher will call upon you to translate a sentence that you hear or read. The point of this is to make sure that you really understand what the sentence means and that the grammar is clear to you. Sometimes when you meet in a specially complicated sentence, you may want to translate it to yourself, just to work it all out. But in the end, you will want to go back and ensure that you can understand what it means simply by hearing it. Once you really get into the language, you'll understand all this a good deal better. Somebody will be saying something quite fast, and you'll suddenly realize that you understood it all. It's a great moment, really satisfying. You probably wouldn't be able to repeat the words or even know how it was that you understood it at all. But it's a sign that the language is starting to sink into your mind. You're beginning to understand without translating. In fact, serious professional translating is a very different art from speaking or understanding a language. Some people are very good at speaking, but have real trouble translating well for someone else. Don't worry about this. You're trying to learn the language, not to become a translator, at least at this stage. So here are our key points again for this section. 1. You can never really learn to speak a foreign language or understand it when it is spoken unless you can learn to think in the language. You can actually start to think in the language from virtually the first day. 2. Learning to think in a new language means learning to associate an initially meaningless new sound with the idea or image of what it means. You practice to the point where the new sound takes on meaning for you. 3. Avoid translating, that is, mentally putting into English everything that you read or hear. Your goal is to understand without translating. Learning to spot relatives, or language families. The first thing you will probably hear when you proudly announce to your friends and family that you have decided to learn Spanish, Czech, Persian, Korean, or whatever, is that the language you have chosen is easy or hard. In fact, no comment about which language is easy or hard is entirely accurate. The most important factor determining whether a language is easy or hard for you is not so much the language itself as the matter of where you are coming from. Arabic is not very hard if you happen to speak Hebrew. Icelandic is pretty easy if you speak Danish. Russian is a cinch if you are Bulgarian. Languages that are close to our own tend to be easier and more familiar, both the grammar as well as the vocabulary. But what does close mean? What we are actually talking about here is the matter of language families, an important part of understanding what languages are all about. So let's spend a little time exploring some of the main language families of the world and what they mean to you in terms of learning words and grammar. You're going to end up learning lots of words in whatever new language you take up. A little understanding of language families and word associations will go a long way toward making this an easier process. It may even tell you some things about your own language, English. All languages in the world are related to some other language or languages, and they can all be divided up into large groupings or families. Most European languages derive from a common heritage, from a very large language group or family called Indo-European. You may have heard of the oldest known existing written member of that language family called Sanskrit, which was written many thousands of years ago in India. Well, why does this matter to you? Because there's a good chance that you will be learning a language from the Indo-European language family. And like all families, this one is divided into several distinct branches, like the Smiths and the Joneses, who both trace their family line back to a common great-great-great-grandparent. Indo-European languages subdivide into a number of subfamilies: Romance, Germanic, Slavic, Indic, Iranian, Celtic, and a few others such as Greek and Albanian. Let's take a slightly closer look at a few of these subfamilies. Here's where you'll probably spot one of the languages that you will be studying. First of all, Romance. Now, this name doesn't have anything to do with love or romantic interests, by the way. The name comes from the word Roman, simply because these languages all developed from Latin, the language of the ancient Roman Empire. The main modern languages in this Romance group are French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and Romanian. These languages actually developed when the Latin speakers of the Roman Empire became isolated in their own areas after the empire began to fall apart. Their Latin gradually corrupted, or you could say evolved, into these various modern forms of Latin. In other words, people once speaking a common language gradually grew